Matthew chapter 12. I want to read several scriptures today, all of them having to do with a demand for infallible proof. All of these passages that I read to you touch on the subject of a demand for infallible proof. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, Luke 16. Starting at verse 22. This is the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in the unseen world, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now, here, he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Now, John 10. Verse 24. The Jews therefore came round about our Lord and said unto him, How long dost thou hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. Now, Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up after that he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, John chapter 20. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the few passages that we have read among the many, many passages that we could have read telling us about the death and resurrection of thy Son. But we are glad that one would be sufficient. Our Father, many have been written, how much more sufficient? And yet we have seen our God, in spite of all these things, the unbelief of men, the hardened hearts, the absolute refusal to believe, except upon certain conditions. We pray that we shall learn, our Father, about the demands that man has made of you and your Son, and what demands have been met, and which demands were refused to be met. We are thankful, our God, that you have not struck down immediately such worms that would make such demands. But our Father, you are long-suffering, you are gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. And we who are here, our Father, how many of us have confessed that indeed this is true. And so we pray that we shall learn from the passages that we have read together today. Undertake for us, by thy Spirit, our Father, prepare hearts and empower lips. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify our Savior in this little time we have together. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. an amazing thing that God would be approached by man and His Son would be approached by man and impudently told that unless you give me infallible proof, I'm not going to believe in you or your Son. Whoever heard of such a thing? And yet I've read you passage after passage about people presuming to approach the Son when He was on earth and say to Him, Teacher, we would see a sign from you. And listen to the answer that our Savior gave to these Jews. He said, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And so the sign that they're asking for, they had contained in the scriptures that God had given them, and the sign that would have been sufficient for them was their understanding about Jonah in the great fish and being delivered out of the belly of that fish. But it meant nothing to them. In like manner, at a later date, the Savior was approached by the Jews that had heard Him speak again and again. And they said to Him, How long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And the Lord Jesus said, I told you, and you do not believe. So our Savior has said this, that some that come demanding signs, He says to them, You have been given all the signs that you need, and I'm not going to give you any more. And these Jews in John 10 that demand of Him a plain declaration that He is the Messiah, He said, I have told you, and you do not believe. Now, the same thing is said in Luke 16, not only by men on earth, but by men in the next world. And Lazarus, who now is in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man who is in torments, now they need no more persuasion about the world to come. But since the rich man is not able to get Abraham to command Lazarus to even give him a drop of water to cool his tongue, he says, well, at least do this. Send Lazarus back from the dead and give a testimony to my five brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. And Abraham said this, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, No, but if you sent back someone from the dead, they would be persuaded. And Abraham said this, a voice from heaven. He said, If they do not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if one went back to them from the dead. And so we can argue with Abraham, but it is like arguing with the Savior. When you have this testimony from Abraham, who says they have sufficient evidence to give them the ability to believe if they will read and believe that evidence. But man demands more. Those to whom Christ spoke again and again, they said, We want more plain explanation as to who you are. The Lord Jesus said, I have told you plainly, and you do not believe. I read to you in Acts chapter 1 that our Savior, when he was on earth, gave many infallible proofs. And I remember an old brother laughing and discovering this. He said, "You only need one infallible proof. If that proof is infallible, and it is a proof, then you need no more proofs." But I read to you from Acts chapter 1 that our Savior gave many infallible proofs. And so what God has said is this, that what man is demanding, he has been given. And if he demands more, God says it is not going to be given him. There is one exception, and that exception is Thomas. Special privileges were given to his apostles and 11 that are still alive are visited by the Savior, of which 11, 10 are present. And though it says they disbelieved for joy, they are convinced because the Savior has presented himself to them. And when he came, it says they were still needing convincing. And so the Lord said, look at me. He said, "I'm not a spirit. Flesh and bones do not belong to a spirit." He said, "I am alive. I am flesh and bone. Feel me and see." They needed more persuasion. The Lord Jesus said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they brought him food. And in their presence, he ate food. And then they were convinced. But Thomas was not there. And when these 10 brethren of Thomas, 10 of those with whom he has been associated for over 3 years, they tell him, all 10 of them unite and say, "Jesus is alive." Thomas says, "I do not believe it, and I will not believe it unless I am given infallible proof." He said, "The only way that I will ever believe what you are telling me is if he comes and I take my finger and stick it in the prints of the nails and I put my hand into the spear wound in his side." He said, "Unless I have that infallible proof," he said, "I'm not going to believe." Now, I think that the Lord could have said to him, as he said to the Pharisees and to the doctors of the law and all the others that came and demanded of him proof as to who he was and his mission on earth, I would have dismissed them and said, "You have all the proof that you need." But he is going to send Thomas as well as the other apostles into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And he wants them all to have the same amount of proof. And so what happens is this, that these 10 apostles who have vehemently told him that the Savior is alive, and they've told him from what Christ is going to speak later about his hands and his side, Luke dwells on his feet. Our Savior was crucified, nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet, but John is the one who specially mentions the spear that was pierced into his side. And so he mentions that. And they tell Thomas about what they've seen. We have seen his hands. We've seen his side. He's eaten in our presence. Thomas says, unless I have the same proof that you have, I'm not going to believe. Now, this was interesting to me, how these apostles that told him that were not able to say, just wait and you will see. Or if they did say that, they waited after that first resurrection day, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and Thomas would say, yes, where is this Savior you told me about? And finally, on the eighth day, Thomas is with them, and they're ready to leave and go into Galilee. But finally, on that eighth day, the Lord Jesus appears suddenly in the midst. And what is an encouragement to us is that what Thomas has been saying to the other apostles, the Lord Jesus is fully aware of it, fully aware of his demands. Thomas did not give these demands to the Savior because he did not believe the Savior was risen from the dead. But he had heard Thomas give those demands to the other apostles. And so the Savior comes and he says, Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger and put it in these wounds where the nails were driven into my hands. And take your hand and thrust it in the side where that spear entered my side when the soldier pierced me and there came out blood and water. Do that. And Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God, because I have no doubt that he did not fulfill the opportunity that Christ gave him to put his finger and his hand into the wounds of Calvary, because the Lord Jesus answered it this way, Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. He did not say, because you have seen and felt me, but because you have seen. Because Thomas thought that he would need more proof than he actually did. But the Lord Jesus gave him three infallible proofs. You see, you have five senses. And Thomas had three of his senses witnessed to, because he demanded to feel and he demanded to see. And so he saw the Lord and the Savior said, now feel me. And so the sense of sight was fulfilled and he was offered the sense of touch. But more than that, there was the sense of hearing as well, because the Savior spoke to him, called him by name. And when that sense of hearing and that sense of sight were satisfied, Thomas said, I need no more. And just as some who had been given many infallible proofs, when Thomas was given this proof, then he gave the greatest confession as to the person of Jesus Christ that you'll find in all the Gospels. For this reason, Nathanael and Peter gave this confession. Nathanael, when the Savior spoke to him, said, Rabbi, you are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. And when the Lord Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when Thomas was given this exhibition of a risen, physical, resurrected Savior, he said, my Lord and my God. And so the one who was determined that he must have an infallible proof, the one who would seem to be the hardest to convince, once he was convinced, gave the greatest testimony as to the person of Christ. The Lord Jesus never came out and said, I am God, but he said it in different ways. He said this, he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And that's what the Jews said to him in John chapter 10. We are going to stone you because you, being a man, make yourself God. The Lord Jesus spoke in such a way that he was claiming to be God. When he spoke about Abraham seeing his day, and they said, why, Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead, and you've seen Abraham? The Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, before he came into existence, I am. And they knew exactly what he meant, that he was claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament. And they picked up stones to stone him. But the Lord Jesus went through their midst. And so, notice, you and I today are believers in Christ, but how many of you have ever heard him speak actually? How many of you have ever seen the Lord Jesus with your eyes? How many of you have ever felt the Lord Jesus bodily raised from the dead? No, and you never will. Because there were only certain ones that were given this privilege. 11 of the apostles and the others who were with them on that first resurrection day. He appeared 5 times on that resurrection day. And the women who had been spoken to by the angels as they were going to give this message to the apostles, the Lord Jesus appeared to them and said, all hail. And thank God for this. It said they fell down and worshipped him and took hold of his feet. And so what Thomas was permitted to do, but I take it that he did not do, these women did. And they have felt the bodily resurrected Savior, and they have worshipped him. So think of this. You and I, who demand proof, the Lord Jesus said, you are not going to be given the proof of hearing me and seeing me and feeling me. He said, from now on, only 2 people are going to have that experience that are unsaved. James, my brother, because in 1 Corinthians 15 we are told that the Lord Jesus appeared unto James, his brother, and I've told you so many times that he appeared unto Saul of Tarsus, and that is what Saul based his conversion upon. He says, have I not seen the Lord? He saw the Lord, and he heard the Lord. But what the Savior says is this, Thomas, you have believed because you have seen. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Notice, our Savior includes the rest of mankind for the rest of this dispensation. He said, unless some miraculous alternative is given, exception is given, nobody is ever going to see the Savior. Nobody is ever going to feel the Savior, and nobody is ever going to hear the Savior until he descends from heaven with a shout, and then we shall hear him. And it said, every eye shall see him. Thank God for that. And then I know in Revelation chapter 1, John falls at his feet as one dead, and the Lord Jesus is not touched by John, but the Lord Jesus lays his right hand upon John and lifts him up. And so, dear ones, as for the demand of infallible proofs, they have been given to the 11 apostles and others as well, and in the coming day they will be given unto us. But thank God the Spirit has convicted us within of sin and righteousness and judgment, and we have believed all that the apostles have spoken and written, and God has let us read Moses and the law and the prophets, and now the New Testament, and we have heard the testimony inspired by the Spirit of God, and we have believed. All the infallible proof that is needed has been shown to us, and we have accepted it. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, thou dost know that Satan would place doubts in our hearts. Forgive us for being fools. We remember that your Son said to those that were walking with him on the road to Emmaus, fools and slow of hearts to believe. We pray, our Father, that we have begun to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. We pray, Father, that having believed that, let us believe all the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given. Your Savior said, I will come again and receive you to myself. He has fulfilled all the former promises. He shall fulfill all the latter promises. Our Father, let us be strong. Let us see that there is infallible proof, and let us believe on it, and let us go our way rejoicing, knowing that God, who cannot lie, has promised. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.